Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday, everyone. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous day here in Connecticut, and I am hoping that wherever you are, it is a gorgeous, blessed, and beautiful day for you. I am your host, Dynamic Daphne, and as always, it is such a blessing when I have the opportunity to be on this broadcast with you. I'm super excited today, not only because I'm on the broadcast, but because of my distinguished, honored guests. And my guest, who's been hanging out in the virtual green room, is Elder Pierre Maranza out of Texas. And I tell you, I just know that this episode today is going to be rocking your world. So if you have not yet find yourself a comfortable seat, do so now. Grab your pens and pads. Grab your water so that once you make yourself comfortable, you won't have to get up because you wouldn't want to miss a blessing. I am also excited because tomorrow I head off on vacation. So today's show will be my last show for the month of August. I get back. We're having some technical difficulties, but hey, the enemy is a liar, and this show will go on. This show will go on without any glitches. So, hey, enemy, you're a liar. Nothing is going to happen. We are going to have a technical free show tonight. I rebuke this technology problem in the name of Jesus. And, you know, we are just going to have a powerful show and people are going to be blessed. So whatever is happening, it's under my feet and I trample that. So, I was telling you when I got interrupted that I'll be on vacation and I'll be back the 13th of September. I know God will be using me, although I'm on vacation, and I know I'm going to have great, great news to report when I come back. Before I bring my honored guests on, I want to share again from one of my books, Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. And Today is a day where we are going to give tribute to friendship. And this comes from Sharon G. Teed. And it reads, "In all my years, I have many close friends, but no one has truly stuck by me as my best friend Wanda has. We met some 36 years ago when we ended up working together. The friendship grew as we discussed many of the personal things that happened to us. We found we could make each other laugh at life. The emotions I shared with her included my difficulty getting over my parents' death. Many a night, I could talk about them and cry. She would listen and comfort me. She was there when I needed support with my son, who struggled through life without a father figure. When I met someone, she worried about whether he would be good for me. She saw I was smitten with him. She warned him not to hurt me. She even came to Mexico for my son's wedding. She took on my granddaughters like a devoted aunt would. She celebrated my 65th birthday on a cruise with another friend of mine. She was there when my boyfriend of 10 years broke up with me. Again, she listened while I blabbled on about him. I love her dearly for all the support she gives me." And that's a tribute to friendship. Yes, I could really take on that boyfriend bit for 10 years, but I'm going to leave that for another show. I'm glad that her friend Wandra is there to stick around her through thick and thin. So I'm sure going to be following up on that 10-year boyfriend piece at a later date. Well, without any further delay, I want to bring on a mighty, mighty, powerful man of God. And this is someone that I've only met a little under 3 weeks ago. However, my spirit is so connected with Elder Pierre as if I have known him all my life. And you know, God makes no mistake. He brings his people together. And the way that Elder Pierre and I met was a miracle, because I met him through another blog talk radio show, someone who had been inviting me to listen to her show for many months, and I had not accepted the invitation. I just did not tune in. And the less than 3 weeks ago when I tuned in was when Elder Pierre was on, and as a matter of fact, by the time I called in, he was off the air already. However, because of the servant man that he is, he was humble enough in allowing the host to give me his telephone number so that I could call him for prayer. And, you know, God is so good. God is so good. So without any further delay, I want to welcome my honored, distinguished guest, Elder Pierre Maranza. Elder Maranza, how are you, sir?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much. Good evening, Radio Land. I want to say to Dr. Daphne, it's a pleasure, it's an honor to be here. I don't count it just a right. It really is a privilege to be with you today. And I don't, if you're listening, I don't know when you're listening, where you're listening, but I know that God is going to speak a word of direction, a word of comfort, a word of encouragement to you. And so, as she has already articulated, I encourage you to get comfortable, make yourself comfortable. Go grab you some water, some juice, some Kool-Aid, or whatever is your beverage of choice, and just sit and hear what God would have you to say. It's not by coincidence that of all the radio stations, of all the technology out there, you somehow connected to this particular station. God has something for you.
Yes, yes. Thanks so much. And, you know, Elder Peer, I could read your bio. However, I'm not going to do that because a lot of times people listen to us read these things and they sit down and they tune out and they say, yeah,
whatever.
they hype it up for the show. I would love for you to start at the beginning of your humble journey.
That's just a prophetic confirmation. That's what, because we hadn't talked, radio audience, we hadn't talked about necessarily which direction, but I really felt like I wanted to, you know, it's my first time, people need to kind of hear me. And again, you can say a whole lot of stuff in the bio, but the proof is in the pudding. But first
of all,
now one of the things Dr. Daphne said, and this is how I flow, she said, we're just going to turn it over to God. So at this point, Pierre is not in charge, she's not in charge,
God
is in charge.
That's right.
But I just want to confirm this is of the Lord, because that's exactly where I wanted to start, just kind of give you some background. But one of the things Dr. Hudson said that I wanted to pick up on, again, I try to be very, very sensitive to the leading of the Spirit, and something she said I think is so key. She mentioned about my servant's heart. It is true that after the program was over, I gave her my personal number. You know, now there are some pastors and preachers that wouldn't do that. That's fine for them. My first ministry is servanthood. Before I'm a bishop or a prophet or apostle or whatever title people choose to give me, archbishop, whatever, even pope, whatever. Whatever. The foundation of all ministry is servanthood. Jesus said, if you really want to be want to be great, be a servant. And I think the truth is, and so often in what we understand to be Christendom, we've forgotten. It's almost like we're looking for people to serve us. Jesus said, listen, I'm not here to be served. I'm here to serve. And if we're going to really be like Christ, we must allow that to be the foundation of why we do what we do. I mean, I've even gone to places, Dr. Hudson, where people are so caught up in titles. And it's funny because I was just sharing this with someone recently that, you know, I've literally been in services where, you know, bishops or apostles would come in and they would be introduced, say their friend would introduce them from, we're so glad to see, you know, hypothetically, Apostle Hudson has walked in the room. Would you please stand? Well, you refuse to stand. Because, well, first of all, I see my good friend say Dr. Hudson versus Apostle Hudson. You refuse to stand until you were correctly addressed as Apostle Hudson. And I'm thinking, are we that caught up in a title?
Oh, my God.
I just wanted to pick up on that. You talked about servanthood. I believe the foundation of all ministry is servanthood. And so I'm a servant first and foremost. I've been... as she mentioned, I'll just kind of give you some background. Yeah, my name is Linda Pierre Moranza. It's interesting. The last name is actually Italian. It's pronounced Moranza. My dad's dad was full-blood Italian. My dad's mom was full-blood Cherokee.
Oh, Lord.
And so, of course, then he met my mom, who was African-American, and thus we have myself, and I have a brother and two sisters, and I have a wife and two kids. And
all
so
right.
The legacy continues.
That's right.
But
that's
I grew up in the ghettos of Houston, Texas. We were poor. My dad, you know, he worked all the time, but we grew up in the ghettos of Houston. And I often say we were so poor, we literally couldn't pay attention. But I will say this, even though we were poor, in my mind, I didn't know we were poor because there was always plenty of food. Now, other stuff, I guess it didn't matter because we always had plenty of food. In fact, I was sharing with Dr. Daphne, one of the things that I pride myself on is the fact that I cook. Because I saw my dad, even though he worked full-time, my dad would prepare. Now, how he did this now, I have no idea. He would literally prepare 5 meals a day minimum. He would come home in between jobs. So he worked construction. Now, how his boss was able to let him come home and, you know, get meals ready. And then, you know, while he was cooking a meal, he was preparing for the next meal. It was it was unbelievable how, I mean, I grew up with that. And so, you know, I just thought men were supposed to cook. I didn't know men wasn't supposed to cook, you know. And
oh,
so
but that's
my,
a legacy. That's a legacy.
Yes. I mean, he cooked all. Now, let me say this. And for women out there, y'all are gonna, I thank God for the women, because here's what my dad did that, but my dad didn't do that. My mom did. So I got really the best of both worlds. My dad was an excellent cook. However, he was a messy cook. I mean, he would destroy the kitchen. And so my mom taught me that, Pierre, when you cook, before you even get started, go ahead and run you some dishwater. That way, as you cook, whatever you finish, you go ahead and wash it. And so by the time I'm through doing an eight or twelve course meal, the dishes are already done. So I learned
how to not only cook good food, but also
to cook neat. And I love a clean kitchen. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But I grew up in the ghettos of Houston.
Another time.
Yeah, I grew up in the ghettos of Houston, Texas, and I went to a private Presbyterian school. Now, why it was Presbyterian, you know, we weren't Presbyterians. I have no idea why we went to a Presbyterian school, maybe because it was a free school.
Maybe the only Christian one in town, too.
Exactly. And, again, that would come in the ghetto. Again, we lived in the ghetto, Dr. Hudson. So we weren't too many people trying to rush in to do anything kind of kids.
My God. It's happening today, too, in different areas.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Ooh. But I thank God for people that are willing to go into places where most people aren't. In fact, this is part of my testimony as well, but I graduated from Oral Roberts University. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm saying it now because it's going to tie in with what we just talked about, them willing to come into the ghetto. I went to Oral Roberts University, and his motto basically is to go. He said God had spoken to him to go where, you know, his light was dim, and that he would basically raise up students to do the same. You know, to go where his light is dim. And even before I went to ORU, I mean, again, seeing those people come into my neighborhood, and these weren't our color people. These were very different colored people coming our kind, you know. And so I thank God for that. And I think even that has caused me to really, God has given me really great favor with races and also denominations.
That's right now.
God has called me to be a bridge builder between the races and denominations. Most of the times I'll go into a setting where I am the only African American. In fact, I remember going when I was a youth pastor, I remember going to minister. I'd gotten invited to speak and also to sing at a graduation. I went to a place called Pampa, Texas. Miami, Pampa, it's up in the northern part of Texas. And to my surprise, there had not been an African American in that particular city, in almost 47 years.
My God.
Yes, now I had no idea. Again, so I'm going to share with y'all stories of how God has used me, because it's just been incredible. And again, I'm saying all that because I started from humble beginnings in Houston, Texas, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th Ward. Those of you that are familiar with H-Town, you're familiar with 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th Ward. In fact, my mom worked for the first, some of y'all that know that area may be familiar with, before there was a Popeyes, before there was a Church's and a Kentucky Fried Chicken, there was a chain called French's Chicken.
Woo,
French's,
no.
F-R-E-N-C-H-S. It was a very popular chicken place where my mom was one of his first employees there. French's Chicken. But we grew up there in the ghettos of Houston, and from that God has literally launched me to around the world. But
Around the world.
And so I'm going to be sharing with y'all some of the experiences that I've seen around the world, because I was getting ready to share with you about a trip to Pakistan. But before I do that, I want to wait. And even before I do that, let me pray. Father, I thank you for this day. Even as Dr. Hudson has already articulated, God, I thank you that this is the day that you have made.
Yes.
We choose to rejoice and to be glad in it. Father, I thank you that lives will be changed eternally, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit. Father, I thank you that you're going to release words. You're going to release words of direction, words of encouragement. You're going to just restore someone's hope, someone that has failed miserably. I'm telling you, don't turn off the station. Don't turn off your computer. God has a word of restoration for you. So, Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I wanted to always acknowledge him, and I apologize for not doing that, Dr. Hudson. But as I was saying, so I started in the ghettos of Houston, went to a private Presbyterian school, and so I went to, was ministering up there in a place called Miami, Texas, and the only African-American that had been in that city in over 47 years, and God allowed me to go into the city, and I'll never forget when I walked in to the graduation. Basically, it was a small town, a by small town, I mean that when anything happened in the city, everybody participated. Basically, the city would shut down. So you had the city council, the mayor, you had the police chief, all the police staff, you had all of the teachers, of course, the administrators. So everyone came to this. Basically, they had a graduating senior breakfast. So they had invited me to come in and sing and to speak, address the graduating seniors. And so when I walked in, you know, I noticed that, okay, I don't see anybody else that looks like me, but I'm thinking maybe they're on their way. Well, by the time I got ready to stand up, I looked around. I was the darkest person in the entire place. And so I was thinking, God, how can I break the ice? And I'm not going to say this was God, but somehow this came into my mind. And it was so profound at the time, and I must share it with the radio audience, because God, again, allows me to go into a lot of places like this. And you know, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe in the fullness of the gospel. And yet God will oftentimes allow me to go into places where they don't believe that, and yet God gives me such great favor. And so in this particular instance, I was thinking, God, how can I break the ice? And all of a sudden, in my mind came this story, and I'm going to share it, real short story. When I rose to address the crowd, I said, the audience, I said, listen, I have a very, very important question today, and how you answer this question will determine my success or failure. Now, when I ask the question, it may seem like it's a crazy question, but I need for you to be honest and sincere and answer the question appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's now waiting. What is this guy talking about? What's going on? Is he okay? I said, listen, I need to know if there is anyone in the building that likes raisins. Yeah, exactly, Dr. Daphne. That's what they started doing. People started laughing. I said, no, I need y'all to be serious. I say, I know it's funny, but I need y'all to be serious. Is there anyone in here that likes raisins? And, you know, after about, you know, maybe 5 or 6 seconds, hands started going up all over the building. And so I put my hand across my forehead like I was wiping off sweat, and I said, phew, okay, I think I'll be successful. Because right now I feel like the only raisin in a bowl of Frosted Flakes. And if I tell you, the mayor lost it. He never gained his score. He almost messed up my entire meeting. He laughed and laughed and laughed and he just couldn't stop laughing. Well, by then, of course, God broke the ice, and we had an incredible time. But so I get invited to a lot of places where, you know, I'm like, God, how did I end up here? In fact, most of the things I have achieved, and I don't know who this is a prophetic word for somebody. Again, I'm already ministering. If y'all are waiting on the ministry time, it's already taking place. Most of what I have achieved, I don't know who this is for. Most, I'm talking probably 94-95% of everything I've achieved, I had absolutely no business achieving it. Here's what I mean. Before I ever graduated with a college degree, I was speaking on major university campuses. Major campuses. I didn't even have a college degree. Now, that's an oxymoron. If you're on a college campus, you would think that you are certified, that you are, you know, qualified to teach to college. After all, you're talking to people with PhDs. You're talking to people with master's degrees. And yet you don't even have a degree. See, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us. That's Ephesians 3:20. And I'll never forget another time. I was a senior in high school. Again, I do some singing. I was a senior in high school, and I was singing with the Texas A&M University Voices of Praise. That's a gospel group at Texas A&M, on the campus of Texas A&M University in College Station, Texas. Well, again, number one, I shouldn't have even been doing that because I'm just in high school. I'm not a student of Texas A&M University. And so not only was I a singer, but I held a position of chaplain in the choir. And I'll never forget going to Atlanta to do what they call what is it called? Basically, it was the all the college campuses that have gospel choirs.
Oh, yeah, the chorus.
Once a year
the
at different...
Chorus competition.
Chorus competition.
Mm-hmm.
They do it every year at different, now
state
it's...
State level, local level.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and this was college campuses from all over the U.S. came from, this particular time it was in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget, we actually rode the bus with Southern University. We picked them up on the way to Atlanta. And I remember just going, again, I'm not looking to speak. I'm just happy to be there. Well, somehow they wanted just some spontaneous ministers to come and share if they felt led. And, of course, someone from my group selected me, so I went on the panel. There were two guys that went before me, and, very theological, and I say this also, again, this is a word for someone. I am a student of Oral Roberts University. I understand homiletics. I understand hermeneutics. I understand how to properly exegete a scripture. I understand soteriology. I understand hermeneutics. I understand ecclesiology. I understand eschatology. I understand all of that stuff and all of the ologies. And after all of that experience and knowledge, I've gotten right back down to kneology.
My God.
God, what
My
are you
God.
Saying? Thank God for homiletics. Thank
what?
God for hermeneutics. Thank God for exegetics. I understand all of that. Thank God for all of the ologies. But after all of that, I'm still saying, God, what are you saying? What is kneology? Just get down on your knees and say, God, speak to me. In the midst of all of this stuff I've learned, in the midst of all of this, they say this is how you're supposed to homiletically present a message. Okay, that's wonderful. But if there is no anointing, if there is no glory on the anointing, glory on the message, I don't care how many homiletics, I don't care how exegetically it sounds, I don't care how hermeneutically astute it may be, if there
that's
is not a dimension of God's glory on the word,
hallelujah,
it's just a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And
that's
not to diminish that. Again, I got the degrees to prove it. I'm not diminishing.
That's
but I am
right.
saying there is a dimension called God's glory. That's what
hallelujah.
You want. Again, in fact, my God, I feel the glory of God. One of the themes of Oral Roberts was get your learning, but keep your burning.
Ha-ha!
In other words, go ahead and get all your degrees that you want to get. Because some people got more degrees than a thermometer.
That's
but they
right.
still can't do what God has called them to do.
Call them to do. They
and
still
so,
continually studying without using what they already have.
Amen.
And
as you
affirm, Elder Pierre, you don't have to have anything for God to use you.
Nothing. Except a willing heart.
Shakarabu.
Makarabu. Rabasta. Except a willing heart.
A willing heart.
Heart
and obedience.
Yes. Yes. You know, I said like this. See, you know, we just gonna flow. And Dr. Daphne, stop me anytime, baby. I got some stuff written down here that I can talk about. But, we just led. So you just flow. Flow with me. I'm open to whatever you want to do.
It's all good because, this is an anti-message. And I'm just so thankful that when you and I were talking the other day, and the Holy Spirit said, you got to get him on for a Sunday show on adversity. I was obedient.
Yes.
Because
yes.
people have all the excuses why they are not doing anything.
Yes.
And you had all the excuses. I listened to you, Elder Pierre, and I heard my story.
Yes.
There are
yes.
many times I turn up with my shoulders held tall.
Yes.
My head high, and I'm the only one of color there. And it doesn't matter because there's a reason why I turn up there.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a reason why God sent me there. And I'm
yeah.
not going to be feeling inferior. I'm not going to be humiliated where yes. he sends yes. me. I go.
Yes. In fact, Dr. Daphne, and of course, this guy, you know, that's part of my testimony, so I'll get there. But I was in, let me just to make it brief, and then I'll get to it, expound on a little. But I was in a United Methodist, United Methodist, not African AME, but UMC, United mm-hmm. Methodist Church. United, that's mm-hmm. usually the Caucasian version. God mm-hmm. had me there in that church. When I came, it was predominantly a Caucasian. By the time I left almost eight years later, God had so integrated that church. Really, because God had me to be a youth pastor. Again, I wasn't mm-hmm. Methodist, didn't know anything about youth ministry, and yet mm-hmm. we started with six, and by the time I finished, we had over 400 teenagers. But mm-hmm. I'll get to that in just a second. But what I was going to say is God is really what he's after more than anything. See, he's seeking, watch this, write this down if you're taking notes. He's seeking lovers mm. before laborers.
Hallelujah. Lovers before laborers.
Lovers
see,
everybody's out there trying to, we've taken that scripture where it says, you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you know, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he may send forth laborers. Hold up. What are you going to tell somebody about somebody you really don't know?
That's right now. That's
he's
right now.
He's calling you to know him first. Then go forth. In fact, the Bible says, before he sent them out, the Bible says he called them to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gave them power.
That's right now.
He called them to himself first. The second thing I put with that whenever I talk about that is he's seeking worshipers
mm-hmm.
before workers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, everybody's wanting to go, oh, there's such a harvest. Oh, we need to go get people saved. No, you don't. You need to know him.
Mm-hmm.
If once you get to know him, the Bible says, if I be lifted up, you lift him up through the lifting up of your life. See,
mm-hmm.
oh, my God. St. Francis of Assisi says, go ye into the world, preach the gospel.
Use
words if necessary. Your life should be a demonstration of the kingdom of God. Not
because
so much by what you say.
People are watching you before they follow you.
Oh, don't make me go there.
The right thing, you won't have to say a word because you're going to look behind you. There's going to be a long line.
Yes, okay.
Because
you go.
What you are doing is right. I want to welcome guest 3787 to the show. And I tell you, we just got into all of this and I forget to give you all the number. We want you to call in. We don't want you to miss your blessing. We want you to call in for prayer. We want you to call in to get your question and answers. The number to call is 646-915-8166. I want to welcome guest 3827 to the show. My honored, distinguished guest is Elder Pierre Maranza. And I tell you, he's Italian, you guys, so I don't want to hear anybody say they have never seen a black Italian. You know, I want to piggyback on Elder Pierre on something.
Yes, you go right ahead.
You know, maybe about 3 weeks ago, I met a woman. And I always ask people when I meet them, I say, which church you go? And she told me which church she went. And then she went in a whole long story of what's going on. And she went into the two last pastors that they had and the faults that they had. And then she lingered on this new pastor. And let's say that the church is a Methodist church. She says, this pastor knows nothing about Methodist. I said, huh? I said, does he know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ? Does he know about God? Does he know the Bible and all of that? She said, yes, but he don't know anything. And then, again, she mentioned about the religion. I said, what am I missing here? Because she's so caught up in, he was not trained at a seminary that carried the label that where she'd been worshiping. And I tell you, she's been in that church for 20-something years.
Wow.
And I said, it puzzled me, and she could not understand why I kept asking her questions after questions about his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm thinking, He does not have to know anything about that religion.
That's exactly.
To lead the people.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
A lot of people is going to turn up in heaven, and they're going to be looking at people and say, "Oh, you're here?" And because
yeah.
it was people that didn't want to stand next to in the grocery line here with all the coupons. But they're going to turn up in heaven and the people are going to be there. So we got to be careful. I like what you mentioned about the lovers before laborers.
Yes, yes.
Because we get so religious and we cannot love our neighbors because their language sound different, their headwear look different, the food they cook, the seasoning smell different from what we
yes.
are accustomed to.
Yes, yes.
But yet we are holier than thou out there, so we labor in. Listen, guys, we got to wake up. I know this segment was going to rock your world.
Yes. Well, you know, again, every time you say something, I'm hearing stuff. So, I'll just flow with you. As you were talking, I think it's so – well, first of all, dealing with denominations. You know, mm-hmm. I the word denomination comes from the word denominate, which means
mm-hmm.
to bring to its lowest fraction. So what we have done is we have denominated the nation. Remember, God says in Peter, I am after a holy nation, a
mm-hmm.
holy nation. And so what we have now is we have a nation of Baptists, a nation of Pentecostals, a nation of Charismatics, a nation of Presbyterians, a nation of Catholics, a nation of Church of God, a nation of Church of God of Christ, a nation of Church of God of Prophecy. And here's the deal. Each one of those nations think that they're the only nation where God's apart. It is the epitome of spiritual ignorance and arrogance to think that your denomination is the only nation that God is using. Listen, oh my God, thank you, Holy. Again, this is getting way ahead of my testimony, but I'll just say it now because this is the timing
mm-hmm.
for it. I just got back from Nigeria. Well, not just got back, but probably about last 8 months, I was in Nigeria, and
mm-hmm.
I got invited to speak and I have now spoken in 13 different denominations. I'm not talking, you know, missionary Baptist, Southern Baptist, progressive Baptist. I'm talking about a whole different, you know, you got Baptist, then you got Methodist, you know, I'm talking a whole different denomination. And so God has allowed me to go into 13 different denominations.
Mm-hmm,
and of course, you know, in every denomination, they may have two or three different branches in that denomination.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
well,
yeah.
I just recently got back, had the opportunity to minister in, and I've sang again because I sing, but I've never ministered in a Catholic church.
Mm.
I went to Nigeria and ministered in a Catholic church and also got invited to minister in a, I think it was a Presbyterian church. I think it was a Presbyterian.
Mm-hmm.
Listen,
mm-hmm.
and God just, again, he just threw out my little theological box. He just blasted it. And I consider myself to be pretty open. I mean, I've seen things that I don't even talk about in America as I've gone into developing nations.
That's
but
right.
I went there, and first of all, it was led by a female.
My God.
An incredible woman of God. I'm talking this woman walks with God. And it wasn't a traditional Catholic, you know, what I'm used to. This was, I'm talking, Dr. Daphne, I've never been, and again, I've ministered in all kinds of settings, and, you know, I've been with the best of them, you know, where it's
right.
deep. But listen, there was an order in this particular Catholic church where, when I say an order, I mean a dimension of God's glory to where, you know, nobody had to, you know, set some rules and set boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit himself
was flowing, literally.
And I'm talking where words of knowledge, healings, people came up saying, this is what the Lord is saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, what? This is a Catholic? It was the most incredible three-day event probably in my history. And I've ministered all five or seven continents.
It was
one of the most profound services I've been in a while. Now let me tell you this. Her name is Sister Anna. Oh God, what's her last name? Oh, I forgot her last name. Anna Amene, Amene. Sister Anna Amene. Of course, she's married. She has a set of twin boys, another son, she has four boys, I think, and a daughter.
Mm.
And go ahead.
You know, you just keep telling my testimony. I tell you, it was in May, a friend and I went up to Massachusetts. And I had never gone to a shrine before. And she invited me to go up to the shrine. And that shrine was like something I've never seen. And I said to her, I've been up here so long, I'm not going to leave without going inside the church.
Yes.
And when we went inside the church, they were the priests were in there having their prayer time, and we joined in. And after the priest left, there was a gentleman there who was praying. And then I looked, he was over talking with my friend, and I was a little way up. And then he invited us to come down to the downstairs. He wanted us to come down so he could explain to us about Catholic. And I only knew about Roman Catholic like I had heard them mention. This gentleman believes in the Holy Spirit. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He believes in the laying of hands. He believes in healing. He believes in speaking in tongues. And I'm saying, Catholic?
Exactly.
And I look at my girlfriend and I, when we were driving back to the resort, we looked at each other and we said, why are people so afraid of what they don't know?
They're afraid of what they don't know.
If we did not sit with this man, his name is Tom. If we did not sit with Tom, we would not have gotten this information. Are you ready for this, Elder Pierre?
Yes, I'm ready.
The morning over breakfast, my friend asked me, what was the difference between Catholics and us Christians? I thought about it. I said, I don't know. 2 days before we had gone to the resort, the same man that we saw in the church, I had a dream. And the minute the man began talking to us downstairs around the table, the Holy Spirit brought the image in the dream back to me. And with tears in my eyes, I looked at him and I said, you were the man in my dream. You were the man in my vision.
Wow.
And we have become such great friends with him and prior partners. So I tell you, religious people need to get out sometime.
Yes,
get out
yes.
of those buildings and go out in the community because
yes, yes.
there's a lot you don't know.
Yes. Well, see, the key to unity is diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that again. The key to unity is
yes.
diversity. And God made it possible that unity would be pervasive and unity would prevail by making sure nobody else was just like you. Let me say it again. The key to unity is diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And so God guaranteed unity would be achieved
yes.
by making us all uniquely diverse. Our issue becomes the moment we either devalue our distinctiveness or think that we're so much better than someone
Super.
Else because
Superb.
Of our distinctiveness.
That's right.
No, it's not better or less than. It's just different. And God made sure that unity would be achieved by making sure there was not another Daphne, Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Hudson, in the entire 6.9 billion people
That's
on the
right.
planet. Nobody
That's
else
right.
has your set of fingerprints.
That's right. That's right. You know, years ago I met a woman. I think I was sitting in the Miami airport, and she asked me what I did, and I told her, and she said, oh, you like Les Brown? I said, no, ma'am. She said, what you mean? I said, I'm not like Les Brown. I say, I know Les. As a matter of fact, he's a good friend of mine, and I respect him, but I'm not like him.
Uh-huh.
She says, he speaks. I said, yes, ma'am, but I'm not like him. I said, you know? I said, let me tell you something. I can assure you, Les is not trying to do Daphne. And I said, I'm here telling you, ma'am, in person, I'm not trying to do Les.
Wow.
Because ain't nobody can do Daphne like I do Daphne.
Yes,
and I said,
yes.
I can walk near length to do length.
Yes.
So you know, when we run our own race and stay in our lane, we won't have to worry about competition and all of that. Because Elder Pierre, ain't nobody can do you.
You know
even
what?
Even when you was the only raisin in that ball of play.
You know, I say it like this, especially when I go out and I say, listen, I thank God for T.D. Jakes. I thank God for Creflo Dollar. I thank God for Rod Parson. I thank God for Benny Hinn. I thank God for Oral Roberts. I thank God for Dr. Miles Monroe. I thank God for Dr. Fred Price. I can go on and on. I thank God for Dr. Daphne Hudson. But I thank God for Pierre Maranza.
Because
can't nobody do what God called Pierre Maranza to do.
No matter how they try.
So
and I tell people, if you like floral arrangement, and if you like fruit salad, and if you like vegetable salad, you will appreciate uniqueness and authenticity.
Yes.
Because each of those things, there is none that's overpowering the other.
Yes.
They
yes.
just
yes.
come together to give it a delicious
yes.
taste.
Yes.
Or fragrance,
yes.
or it beautifies the eyes. And I think we need to take our focus off who is more powerful and who is doing this and who is doing that. Just keep doing you.
Yes, yes.
And
yes,
do
yes.
more of you.
Yes, yes, yes.
If you are just joining us, come on, guys. We want you to call in. Call for any time with your question. We are talking about adversity. We're talking about silence, the importance of silence. We haven't touched on that yet, but you talk about adversity. If you just join on, I encourage you to go back and listen to the show after we get off the air from the beginning so you can hear about some adversity. This
yes.
black Italian went into a town where they had not seen a black person in 40-something years,
yes.
and he rocked their world.
Yes, yes, yes.
God is using him, and God can use you and I the same way if we are just silent, if we keep still and be obedient to do what he tells us. Don't ask why. Don't look and say, I want like what you give Pierre. Because if he give you what he give Pierre, you won't know what to do with it.
That's right, that's right. That's
ask
right.
him to give you more of what he has for you. So pick the phone up, guys. If you want prayer, if you want to hear what God have lined up for you, call. Show some love to Elder Pierre. Show him some love by calling 646-915-8166. So you have traveled overseas many, many places.
Yes.
How did this all come about? When God told you the first time that he wanted you to go on that journey?
Okay, great. That's a great question. Again, I grew up in the ghettos of Houston. And so I hadn't, you know, all I knew was what I knew, and that was what I knew. Graduated from high school, worked at a Boys and Girls Club for like 13 years. God then allowed me to go to, I used the scholarship money during that time. I'd graduated from high school, got scholarship, and I used it at the junior college level. Then ended up going, after I finished my junior college, I went to Oral Roberts University and was doing very well. Was part of a singing group there. We would travel. We'd begin to travel. We actually did some recording, and things were going wonderful. Well, in the year 1990, my mom, whom I loved, I adored my mom, was diagnosed with a brain tumor. Now, we're talking adversity here. Now, all of a sudden, my whole world just almost seemingly collapsed. I mean, here was the woman that I had seen work two or three jobs to take care of four kids after she and my dad got a divorce, worked great jobs, worked for the government. I mean, she really was an incredible woman, woman of God, I might add. Now she's diagnosed with a brain tumor. And by the time they were actually able to really identify what was going on, it was inoperable. Now, she had gone almost a year trying to find out what's going on in her body, and they kept taking CAT scans, but they would take it. They wouldn't take the full CAT scan, so by the time they decided to do a full CAT scan, they finally identified it at the base of her brain.
Wow.
Before then, they were taking, you know, like the ear up, and so they couldn't see anything. They're like nothing. Mm. And she kept saying, something's not right. And so when they finally identified it, it was inoperable.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'm a student at Oral Roberts, and I'm, you know, praying the prayer of faith and declaring this and declaring that and declaring this and declaring that. You shall live and not die and all
die,
of the, you know, all of the stuff that they teach us to say.
Teaching you.
One
that's
of the things
right.
I learned
teaching
is
it
that
work.
God is sovereign. Mm. And the Bible, the Bible says it like this in Romans 28, and we know. Now, we quote this all the time, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are the called according to, what's the next one? His purpose. Not our purpose. His purpose.
Yes.
And we know all things work, they really do work together good for good. For my, they work together for my good according to his purpose. Oftentimes we have selfish desires, selfish wills. We haven't sought the mind of the Lord. We just going to quote the scripture because it said, I am healed.
Right,
and that's
it.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. There are times that God honors that because, you know, the Bible says we're not to be ignorant concerning the devil's devices. But we need to also be led for as many as are led by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so God sometimes allows things to happen to teach us, to show us, to God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants to do.
That's right, when he wants to do it. That's
when
right.
And how he
wants to do it. That's right. Not on our timetable.
Not on our timetable. And so I tell you, in the midst of that, God showed me so much about myself. He showed me so much about his word. I just went into this time of really getting silent before the Lord. And you talked about that earlier. Let me give you some revelation that God spoke to me regarding that. Regarding silence. And again, this is prophetic for someone out there. You're searching, you're busy doing this, you're busy doing that, you want answers to this, and you're looking over here and you're looking over there, you're calling this person. I even see some people calling, and I don't know who this is for, but somebody out there that's listening, you've actually sought out help through almost a medium, a soothsayer or a fortune teller. Listen, God has your answer. Here's the word of the Lord to you. The Bible says in, what is that passage? Habakkuk 2:28 says, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent. And when I say all the earth, I'm not talking about the earth as trees. I'm talking about the earth, then vessel. The earth,
the universe.
Then vessel. Yes. You keep silent. God began speaking to me about this, and I know she said this is going to be part of the second segment, but this is the timing of it now. So again, I'm telling you, as God has your answer as it relates to. I mean, again, some of you are really wanting God to answer some things, and you just have questions. Listen, the question is a legitimate question, and because the Lord says because it's a legitimate question, He has a legitimate answer, but it's your answer is only going to be found as you sit. Of course, we know the scripture, Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Know that I am God. Sometimes you're still, but you don't have no knowledge that he's God. Other times you know he's God, but you're too busy. You're running here, running there. The scripture says, be still and also know.
No.
Don't just do one or the other. Do both.
Mm-hmm.
And so God allowed me years back when he began talking to me about, again, I was running an incredible youth ministry, had over 400 kids, just wheeling and dealing.
Mm.
God began teaching me about his silence and how to slow down. And Jesus says like this, I only do what I see my Father doing. Now,
that's
in order
right.
for you to
that's
only
right.
do what you see the Father doing, you need to know what he's doing. You need to be able to
that's
see.
Right. You have to know what your Father is about.
You got to know what he's about. You got to, first of all, you got to know him. And the way
that's
you
right.
get to know him is through intimate time. And when I talk about intimate time, I'm not, and I know prayer is a prayer literally is a dialogue. It's not just you letting your request be made known.
It's not a begging.
Hearing,
it's not a begging. That's right.
Yes, it's
a conversation.
You hearing what he mm-hmm. has to say. And so mm-hmm. God gave me this assignment. Now, this is what he gave me. I'm not telling this is what he's given you, but I am saying that this was a key, and this, I believe, is a principle, something that we in the West, I think we've gotten afraid because we consider it too mystic. But listen, there is a kingdom principle to meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Notice,
that's
I didn't
right.
say prayer. I said meditation.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you shut
mm-hmm.
up.
That's
See,
right.
God gave you two ears and one mouth
mm-hmm.
because he
mm-hmm.
wants you to
mm-hmm.
do more
mm-hmm.
listening than speaking.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, let
mm-hmm.
me give you a Bible. The Bible says be slow to speak,
mm-hmm.
quick to hear.
That's
God
right.
gave you scripture.
That's right.
I love
That's
these
right.
things. Where's that in the Bible? Oh, don't mess with me with the Bible.
Bible.
I can give you a scripture for
mm-hmm.
everything I talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It has to
mm-hmm.
be rooted,
mm-hmm.
as far as I'm concerned, it has to be rooted and grounded in the Word. But
mm-hmm.
what we fail at is oftentimes God, he gives us the Word, but it's because of our religious paradigm, we don't
That's
really
right.
see the deep spiritual truths in
mm-hmm.
the Word.
You know, all of what you just shared just took us right back to the point where you mentioned that God wants us to be lovers
before
labor.
I was about to get there.
When we love him, when we are in love with him, we can trust him that he's going to do what he do. But when we're busy laboring, we think we are in charge, and we keep doing, and we keep doing, and keep doing, and think we have the answer.
Yep.
My God.
He's after laborers before lovers before laborers.
Before laborers.
But then worshipers before workers.
Before workers. Yes.
And so I think it's so important that we get to know him. So God had me, Dr. Hudson, he had me to, again, this was my assignment, but I know this is for somebody.
Yes.
God, here,
yes.
I want to teach you a whole other dimension of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say it. I don't know who has ears to hear this, but somebody has ears to hear it. You can do your research. See, oh, my God. Now, I want y'all to hear me by the Spirit. I don't know who's listening. Hear me by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Before Adam fought, prayer, as we understand prayer, wasn't even necessary, watch this, until after the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain. Before the fall, the Bible says he just walked with God, Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. He knew
mm-hmm.
the mind of the Lord. The Bible says it like this, who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. We have it. We
mm-hmm.
have the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But before
mm-hmm.
Adam fell, there was no need for prayer as we understand prayer. In other words, there was
mm-hmm.
no need to the verbalization of prayer. Let me say it like that.
Mm-hmm.
The verbalization
mm-hmm.
of prayer was not necessary until after the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Before the fall, it was shakarabo, spirit
mm-hmm.
to spirit, deep calling
mm-hmm.
unto deep.
Mm-hmm.
It was after the fall that the need for the verbalization of prayer took place. And so God took me back to, and again, I know, see, God speaks to me by revelation. So sometimes
yes,
he'll drop
yes.
something in my spirit. And again, for though I'll say things that's like, well, wait a minute, I don't know about that. I don't know. I can give you a scripture
but
for everything I say. Everything
the
I say.
Spirit, no. Remember at the beginning of the show?
Yes.
We reminded the people that we were not in charge.
Yes, that's right.
That's right. So we are not in charge.
Yes, I'm not.
You know? The Holy Spirit is in charge, and whomever is listening, because you know one of the blessings on this show is that a lot of times when I get off the air and I go in my archive, I say, "Oh my God, there were so many people listening, and they don't pick up the phone and they don't call." And they are not in the chat room, you know. It's not one of those shows where people in the chat room chatting with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
The listeners listens with intent.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, of course, hear me by the Spirit. And so God had me to, he said, P, I'm going to teach you a whole other dimension of prayer.
Mm.
And, of course, what I did initially was I grabbed my Bible, I grabbed me a list of songs that I wanted to sing. And God said, you know, you won't need that. And I'm thinking, what?
Yeah.
He said, you know what? He said, you know, and again, here I am now trying to justify the scripture that I know. I said, God, your word says, come before you with thanksgiving. You know, into your gates with thanksgiving. And he says, Spirit, that's it. He says, how dare you remind me of my word? I know what it says. He says, I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to teach you a whole other dimension of prayer. He said, I'm going to teach you about silence in prayer. Silence. He said, I want you to come to me from 12 to 2 in the morning. This was 2 hours. So 2 hours from 12 to 2, for two weeks,
mm-hmm.
12 to 2, 2 hours a night for 2 weeks. And he said, I don't want you to sing. I don't want you to read a scripture. I don't even want you to talk. I just want you to sit in silence.
My God.
That's when he gave me that passage in Habakkuk 2, I think it's Habakkuk 2:20, where it says, the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silent. The earthen mm-hmm. vessel, keep silent. Just keep silent. And if I tell you, Dr. Hudson, God shared with me some, he downloaded, if you will, with me some revelation that mm-hmm. I have yet to share, because some of it I'm still trying to process.
That's right.
But he says, Pierre, people are not, they don't know me in this dimension. Don't be premature in this. They're not ready for this.
And when
I'm like, I know
right.
they're not, God, because I'm still trying to figure some of this stuff out. But,
yes.
but my point is, God, share with me some. See, the Bible says, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of
mm-hmm.
the kingdom. Oh,
mm-hmm.
now I'm going to say something that may sound controversial, but just hear me by the Spirit. There's a difference in the historical Jesus and the mysterious Christ. Everybody's comfortable with the historical Jesus. Oh, he's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to, see, Jesus said, except you eat of my flesh
mm-hmm.
and drink of my blood. See, that's too mysterious. That's almost
mm-hmm.
mystical. Wait a minute,
mm-hmm.
Jesus, that sounds like cannibalism. He said,
my
unless
God.
You do it,
mm.
you have no part with me.
That's right.
See, oh, they followed him for the fish and the loaves. They loved
mm-hmm.
that. But he
mm-hmm.
said, listen, okay, y'all are really after me? He said, okay, I tell you what, if you're really going to be my disciple, You must, it's not an option. You must drink of my flesh, drink of my blood, and
blood
eat of my flesh. The Bible says, in John 6,
right.
66,
that's
it
right.
says, from that time many of his disciples turned and walked no more with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye
mm-hmm.
also go away? Simon Peter answered and
mm-hmm.
said, Lord, to
mm-hmm.
whom shall we go? We believe that thou art the Christ. We believe that you have the words that lead to eternal life, and thou art the Christ. But Jesus
mm-hmm.
said, listen, if you're really going to be my disciple, this is what I'm telling you to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people couldn't handle it.
That's
so there
right.
is a difference
mm-hmm.
in the historical Jesus
mm-hmm.
and the mysterious Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all
right.
all
right.
about the mystery of the kingdom. He said,
kingdom.
You
Hallelujah.
Have to give it to know the mysteries
mm-hmm.
of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you this question
yes.
because I know you have traveled to... You,
oh, we hadn't even got
have...
to the travels yet. I was working
oh,
up to
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
go there.
You're gone, but I don't know why the Spirit want me to phrase it
yeah,
like
let's
this.
Go,
but
let's go.
Is it only in the U.S. that
oh,
we have this curse of religion that we hold on and we are not open and receptive?
You know what?
To other...
Yes. The Western world, we're very analytical. We're very... methodical. It has to make sense here in the States. It
Logical.
Has to, you know, it has to, there has to be a point A and a point B. Well,
mm-hmm.
in the kingdom, it's not always point A, point B. It could be point
mm-hmm.
A, point X, come back to
and
point
Z,
and then
right.
end up at Z, and you and
That's
you're
right.
there.
That's
you
right.
know,
That's
but here
right.
it's not. No, you
That's
do
right.
it like this, and then you do it like this, and then you got to go to matriculate. Where did you get your? How many degrees do you have? Who was your professor?
Right.
What did you
That's
study?
Right. Oh,
you got to have
Ooh.
All of that.
Mm-hmm.
Here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the
mm-hmm.
other thing, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money,
mm-hmm.
but the love of money. We have so much affluence here. See,
That's right.
I've been in places where unless God shows up, there is no, they don't have health care. Everybody's in a fit about Obamacare. There is no health care in a lot of these developing nations.
Mm-hmm.
There is none. The only health care there is prayer.
That's right. I tell you something. A friend of mine is a monk, and he was telling me the many years he spent in Nepal serving people. He said all those many years, nobody had gone to doctors.
Yes.
Because they didn't have any money to go to doctors. And he says God herbs and spices is what kept them healthy.
Yes, yes. And let me just say this, because there may be doctors listening. In fact, when I went to Nigeria, and I travel with him all the time, spoke to him just recently, a good friend of mine, he's a prophet, steward, he's a prophet and also a medical doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He really is a doctor. He's an ER doctor there in the College
Nigeria.
Station area. So God is not against doctors. In fact, Jesus himself had a doctor on his staff.
That's right. You got to let him use you. Because they know that There are doctors now, they are opening their eyes and their hearts and leave their minds where it is, because they know a lot of people who walk into their offices, they cannot diagnose them and they cannot put them on any treatment.
Yes.
And
I mean,
they
and I have
know.
Been, I have been with Dr. Quarterman. I have been with Dr. Quarterman where he literally was operating. As a matter of fact, the last time we were there, there was a lady that had a and in fact, you go to my website. It may not be on my website, but I know I got it in my praise report, so I can. Mm-hmm. You're really interested in wanting to see the actual picture. See, again, pictures are worth a thousand words.
There's
that's
a lady,
right. She had a one had a 22-pound tumor, and another one had a 14 or 18-pound tumor. I can't remember, but somewhere in there, 22. I know the largest one was 22 pounds, and he was trying to get it out, and medically he couldn't do it. And he started praying, and God gave him supernatural, a word of wisdom, word of knowledge on how to do this.
My God.
That lady's tumor was removed, 22 pounds. I got a picture of the thing.
My Lord.
22
My
pounds.
Lord.
I'm saying that to say that God is not against physicians. This is a,
that's
he's
right.
a man
no,
of God.
He
he's
will
a,
use them if they
yes.
allow him to use them.
Yes.
And they,
yes.
They are giving the praise back to him.
Yes.
Because
yes.
they know. They know. Come on, guys. Let us hear from you. 646-915-8166. My guest is Elder Pierre Maranza.
Yes.
And of course, would you say your last name again?
Well, it's pronounced correctly, but you're fine. A lot
oh,
of times
no,
when
I just want to hear, I want them to hear you say it in Italian.
It's Maranza.
Oh, my Lord, you all heard. He is a real Italian, you guys.
Now, that's
oh,
all I know
heaven.
In Italian. Now, that's
oh, my
but,
heaven.
But just to kind of pick up where I left off, I was yes. telling you about my mom being mm-hmm. diagnosed with a brain tumor.
Brain tumor, yes.
About a year after the diagnosis. Well, first of all, overcoming obstacles. I mm-hmm. would have been the first and only of my immediate siblings, and I have a brother and two sisters, to have graduated from college, and I was so close to graduating. And when she got diagnosed, I just really felt like the Lord said, you know what, you can always get a degree.
That's right.
You need
go
to go.
Look up
you have
mom.
One mom. You have yeah. one mother. And yeah. So I withdrew everything. Of course, just left all of my classes. And so I had to take a lot of incompletes, which affected my GPA up until that point. I was a graduate. I had transferred in as an honor roll student.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to take all incompletes, and I'll never forget because I was taking because I sing, I've always wanted to play a keyboard, and I was taking organ lessons, and the instructor said, "Well, Pierre, you know, it's not a problem for you to get an A. I understand your mom's sick." I say, "Listen, Prof." I said, "I appreciate what you're saying." I said, "But for me, it's not just about getting a grade." I said, "I
That's
really
right.
want to master
mom.
This thing."
The mom, yep.
He said, "Well, I understand." So anyway, long story short, I withdrew. I lost my car because my mom was paying for my car while I was in school, and so now she's not able to work. And so, I lost a lot of stuff. And people were thinking, well, Pierre, why would you do I don't – let me – if you are listening out there, moms and dads, listen. One of the most important things you can do – again, let me just stay with the scripture. This word says, honor thy mother and father. The first commandment with promise that your days may be long on earth. I was appalled at some of the questions. Pierre, I can't believe you're doing this. You're so close to school. I started asking them, what are y'all teaching y'all sons? What are y'all
That's
teaching
right.
y'all daughters?
That's right.
The most important thing I can do is honor
to
my mother and father. Let me
right.
qualify. I have a brother who at the time was incarcerated, so he wasn't able to help. My oldest sister, who is an incredible lady, however, because she was just so emotionally tied up with my mom and her illness, she started using alcohol heavily. And then my younger sister, of course, had a family. So I basically was single. So I was probably I had to step up because I didn't want my older sister to become alcoholic. And my younger sister had her own family to deal with. Then my brother was incarcerated. And so God gave me wisdom. I was sharing just last night. In fact, I'm going to visit one of my godmoms right after I hang up from the call with you. She fell yesterday, and so I'm going to go to the hospital to visit her. But I was saying that I spent the last year and 2 months with my mom. I spent the last, in fact, I was so thankful to God that she was able to see, to enjoy some of the qualities she had instilled with me. Again,
that's
she taught
right.
me to cook.
That's right.
Guess
that's
what?
Right.
For Thanksgiving and Christmas, I fixed the entire meal.
Beautiful. And God is rewarding
to...
you now because
yes.
look on all the places, even when you didn't have those degrees at that time.
Yes.
Look
yes.
on the audiences that he had put you for,
yes.
put you
yes.
in front of. Because you look after your mom and he
yes.
compensated you.
Yes. And I mean, I did things for her you would normally wouldn't see a son doing for your mom, but God gave me the grace to do it. And so bring you back up to get to your questions about the traveling. And so I went through that, and I mean, I was, I'll never forget the day after we had her home going. It wasn't a funeral. It was a home going
celebration.
And we sent her home right. And so the next day, though, I was with one of her sisters. She was the oldest of 10, too, by the way.
My Lord.
Yes. Oh, and one of the things I didn't tell you, too, is her one of her younger sisters, when she found out my mom was diagnosed with cancer, her younger sister had a heart attack as a result of hearing the news, out of the coma, she went into a coma, never came out, and she died a year after my mom's.
Oh.
A year after my mom's homegoing.
My
Lord. In the midst of that, so afterwards, I'll never forget going to my aunt's the next day. I'm talking to the next day, and I just cried and cried and cried. Mm. Of course, that's part of the process. So I thought, okay, it's over. And one day I was praying just by myself in the literally in the closet, in the closet, just praying in the spirit. And this well of tears just rose up and came out, and I bet I cried for like 4 hours. God says, now it's over, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
My Lord.
In the midst of all of that, you know, God was just working on me, and I was still just really seeking the face of God. And lo and behold, a pastor that I didn't even know, I don't even know why I started going to this church, because at the time it was basically a Caucasian United Methodist Church. I wasn't looking for a position. I just was hurting, and I ended up going. That was the church that was probably the closest to where I lived, and so I went. Long story short, he came to me one day propositioning me to become their youth pastor. Well, I didn't know anything about being no freaking. I didn't know what a youth, again, in the churches
what?
That I grew up, we didn't even have a youth pastor.
In your circles, they didn't talk about those things.
No, we didn't talk about, and definitely not one that's going to get
us. Folk stuff, that.
Yes, not one that was going to go on the church staff and actually get paid for it. And so he came, and so I joined. And again, the guy that I just spoke to you about, Dr. Stuart Quartermont, who was the prophet, gave me a word. Because, I mean, he read my mail. Because at the time, I'm thinking, God, number one, I don't like these white folks. And again, I'm just being honest. Why am I here? You know, they can't relate to me. I can't relate to them. He says, fear God's been saying, fear God's heard the cry of your heart. He's heard you say that, God, what am I doing here? He's heard you say, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what a youth pastor is. And God says, I'm going to use you to raise up an entire generation that's going to understand my heart.
My God.
I understand, Dr. Daphne, these were kids. We had kids in the youth ministry that were very, very wealthy. I'm talking, I had one kid that they would fly to California every Friday just to eat dinner.
Oh my God!
Just to eat dinner, they would fly to South. Hold up, they would fly to South Africa at least once a month, if not twice a month, to hunt. Now, I don't know if you know anything about those African safaris, but not only are they expensive just to go on one, but when you kill an animal to bring that thing back to the States, it's expensive.
Whoa.
They had just about every animal that God created on the continent of Africa in their house that they had brought back. It was unbelievable. But he didn't know Jesus. And see, we always talk about, you know, the down and out. And thank God for the down and out. They need Jesus. But so do the up and out.
That's right now.
Did you hear what I said? The up and out.
That's
they
right.
They need Jesus as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy had all. In fact, his best friend when he turned 21, his dad bought him a $9,000 bottle of wine.
Lord have mercy.
Dr. Hudson, that's gone in about 50. Everybody take a small little drink, it's gone in 15 minutes.
My Father.
So I'm saying that to say that God placed me in this type of a
hour.
I remember one time we did a fundraiser, and one guy spent, I think I had made a cheese, and everybody knew about my baking as well. I baked a cheesecake, because, again, my mom had taught me to cook from scratch. And so I baked a cheesecake. And, you know, I think we was asking $20 for it. A man paid $900-something for the cheesecake.
My Lord.
So God had graced us in this ministry.
Oh, my God.
And so I was there for 7 years. It grew just crazy. We started with 6 kids. It grew just to almost 400 kids. Again, we're talking about opposition. I know exactly where I'm going. After 7 years of being in the ministry, I'm telling God, I mean, God, I was traveling all over and just I was taking kids with me because I firmly believe in training leaders to do the work
That's
of the ministry.
Right. That's right.
I firmly believe that. I'm telling you, we had after about 3.5 years of me being there, I literally could come in and sit down because I had so trained them up to do the work of men. They would lead worship. They would preach. They would lay hands. They would do work.
My
the altar.
God.
They did everything, which is what you should do. And
that's
so I
right.
literally sometimes
right.
I would
Not
come in.
Because once you train them, and your season is over, God is going to place you somewhere else to do the same thing.
Now, see, you're flowing right into my, you're segueing perfectly.
Woo.
Because what I was about to say, I mean, I've gotten to the point where, like, a lot of times I would come in and I would just sit. I wouldn't have to do anything. Then there were times I wouldn't show up, and they would say, Pierre, man, God was awesome. You know what? That's what I want. See, a sign of a good leader is when you're not there. That God
and the
still
work
shows
is
up.
Going on. Hallelujah. You don't have to micromanage your people.
No.
Because you know
your season's
only for a time.
In fact, oftentimes if you micromanage them, God says, you know what, you go ahead and handle that one. I'm going to go over here somewhere.
That's right.
You got that one. You go right ahead. You go ahead. No, go ahead with your service. You go ahead. You're fine. You got that one. I'm going to go over here to where they really need me. They don't know what they're doing over here. And they admit it. And so I'm going to go over here and, you know, and so I went through that. So, but you just gave me a great segue because, again, we're talking about opposition and overcoming. Let me just say this. You cannot be an overcomer if you don't have something to overcome.
Overcome. Just like you can't have testimony if you don't have no test.
Oh, that's right.
And there's a lot of people who are looking to give testimony, and yet when the tests come, they're struggling with it and they're fighting against it.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my.
Were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to ask you. Are we going to be able to hear you sing tonight?
Oftentimes it's spontaneous, but if something comes up or at the end, maybe I can come up with something. But I would do for you, Dr. Hudson, I was going to tell you, see, again, you don't know how prophetic you're flowing, but I was going to tell you after we went off air, I will send you a copy of one of my CDs so you'll have it.
That's right.
Yeah, I'll send you a copy. I'll get your address and stuff. But let me finish this. And so after 7 years of just incredible ministry, I got to back up because I believe in the prophetic word.
Mm-hmm.
In 1998, again, I was in Nigeria, northern Nigeria, Kaduna. A great man of God came to me, actually stood from the pulpit and says, Pierre, would you stand up? The Lord has just been speaking to me about you. He says, the Lord wants me to tell you that you have done well. You have done your youth pastoring well. He says, however, God is saying it's time to move. Because like you just said, when you raise them up, it's time for you to move.
That's right.
And yet I had said, you know what, I kept saying, I mean, I had such an incredible group. I said, okay, when I graduate this group of seniors, I'll leave. Okay, but that group graduated, and then the next group.
And you still stay.
And I stayed there, Dr. Hudson. And I said, okay, when this group leaves, so God knew I wasn't going to leave. So this is what the prophet said. He says, God says, Pierre, you've done well. You've done your pastoring well. He is so proud of you. He says, and now he's calling you to transition. He says, and I see you transitioning within a 2-year period. And this is in 1998 when I received this word. He said, in 2 years, I see you transitioning out of youth ministry into the next phase of what God would have. And he said this, Dr. Hudson, and I heard him, but I guess I didn't take heed. This is what he said. He said, Pierre, God says you must transition or there will be a crisis in the house.
Ooh.
Now, I heard that.
Choice.
Yeah, he told, you know, the Bible says I will do nothing unless I first reveal it to my servants, the prophets, Amos 3:7. Now, and I'm prophetic, and so I heard the word, But it never dawned on me. I'm thinking, okay, God, I'll be out. Well,
I'll do it when I'm ready.
Again, we're talking opposition. In the year 2000, in the year 2000, again, the ministry is going wonderful. I mean, money is flowing. Basically, we had probably the largest and most effective, youth ministry in that whole area. I mean, I was getting invited to write articles for Charisma Magazine. The United Methodist Church, big magazines, just incredible stuff. Well, out of nowhere, I'm talking, you know, I know the scripture says in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now, it didn't. It didn't prosper, but I tell you, the weapon definitely was formed. I had an accusation brought against me. And if I tell you, Dr. Hudson, it literally stopped me in my track. I'm talking a nasty accusation. So much so that they had my it was a false accusation, nevertheless. It was an accusation. They had my picture on the front page of a newspaper over 6 times. Now I went and checked, and this is years ago, but I went and checked. There had not been a convicted felon. Now here's just an accusation. There had not been a convicted felon had gotten more press time as I had gotten.
But
because of the ministry and because of the prominence and the influence that I had, they were literally trying to destroy me. I think I shared with you on the phone about the
prominent attorney.
I mean, it was crazy. After 2 years of thorough, and I mean, they investigated everything I'd ever done, everything I'd ever said, every place I'd ever been. 2 years, they found absolutely nothing. And I thought about the scripture where Jesus says, you know, they're coming after me, but, you know, they can't find anything in me. That's when you know you're a man of character. When they are seeking, they're even looking to find somebody. To help facilitate, you know, what the accusation is. Two years of intense scrutiny. Not one iota, not one shred of truth. Thanks, baby. My little daughter just came in, so my wife got her out. Not one shred of truth. But on the flip side, my accuser, oh, my goodness, they found all kinds of stuff against them. I'm talking where they even went into first of all, they had done this to two other youth pastors. Well, I wasn't the first. They had done it to two other youth pastors. And so, again, I didn't know none of this history, none of this stuff. But one of their friends came to my aid because she knew that Pierre is a man of character. He said, listen. I'm telling y'all, she said, I've known this person. I can tell y'all everything. I mean, this person, of course, in addition to doing it to two other youth pastors, had also walked into a McDonald's one day, spilled ketchup, pretended to fall, sued the McDonald's, and, of course, McDonald's wanted to settle, so they got $5,000. All kinds of stuff was coming up about their character versus my character. Long story short, 2 years. Two long years, case thrown out. Thrown out. Of course, my record. I have no record now. It's expunged. Nothing. But I'm sent off to say, talk about obstacles. I mean, that was something I really had, and I can talk about it now, and I can shout about it and laugh about it.
Hallelujah.
You, that was a time of the Bible. They talk about the dark night of the soul. But you know what? And I have to say this. And I don't know who's maybe you're going through this right now. Even though it was a dark night of the soul, I must be completely honest. Because of the Spirit of God in my life, I'll never forget. My sister called me one day. I'm laying in bed. I was depressed. I ain't gonna lie and say I'll share with you two stories. I was in bed. I was depressed. Didn't want to get out of bed. Didn't want to get out. And she said, "Well, baby brother, I hate to call you with bad news, but they got your picture they got your picture on the front cover again." And I just thought, oh, God, how much more can I take? And something rose up inside of me, and I just started praying in the Spirit. And I'm telling you, I'm being honest. I'm in my king-size bed praying with the cover over my head. I'm just crying. And something eventually kicked in to where it was no longer just me praying, But the Holy Spirit literally took over. And something, I mean, I got a vibrancy in my eye. Literally, I'm, Dr. Hudson, I'm telling you the God's truth. I literally jumped out of bed. I'm not talking pulled the covers off and fell out. I jumped out of bed, leaped to my feet, and began praising. I just started dancing. In, I know I thought I was, you know, somebody had to see me. They just thought I was crazy. But I literally, because the Bible says, for the spirit of heaviness, put on the garment of praise. Now, either you believe that or you don't. And it's the worst time to try to do that is when there is a real spirit of heaviness. Oh, it's easy to put on the garment of praise when you just got, somebody just told you that, you know, your body was sick with cancer, now you're healed, or you just got a check in the mail for $10,000 saying that it's completely yours, tax-free. Oh, yeah, you praise God then.
That's right.
But can you praise God when all hell, when all obstacles are coming against you? So that's one thing I wanted to share with you. The other thing I want to share, again, we're talking about obstacles. This whole time, again, this was 2 years. I'll never forget another time that a friend of mine called me, and they were going through something medically that was basically life-threatening. And they called me asking, they left him, I didn't even want, again, I was in another state of depression. I just didn't want to answer the phone. And they left a message saying, Pierre, I know you're going through some stuff, but, man, I really need prayer. You know, I've gotten some bad news from the doctors. And I'll be honest, Dr. Hudson, I took offense to that. I thought, wait a minute, how dare this man call me, knowing what I'm going through, asking me to encourage them. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit told me.
He said,
Pierre, I dare you.
You.
He says, you have the opportunity to be what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
How, again, when all I need to do is hear the word. When I heard that word, again, I got up, put on me a raggedy pair of shoes. I may not have even put on a shirt. I mean, I was so quick to get out of my house because I had to drive about probably 9 or 10 miles one way just to get to this person's house. And I spent about three or four hours just encouraging this man. Now, here again, I'm the one needing encouragement.
That's right.
I'm giving. When I got back to the house, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, Pierre, you're passing the test. He said, you know you're maturing. He said, because even though you're dying yourself, you're yet speaking life. Then he gave me the scripture where Jesus was on the cross, and he said, on this day, you'll be with me in paradise. Now, he was dying, and yet he was still speaking life. He said, you know you're mature when even though you are dying, you're yet speaking life.
Elder Pierre.
Yes.
I want the Spirit wants you to tell the people when – they got a prominent lawyer on that case. And what did people tell you about the lawyer?
Y'all got it. And I want y'all to hear this. Because, again, we're talking about obstacles. Again, I can talk about it now, but it was a rough time. But in the midst of the roughness, God gave me some. For those, I'm telling you, I would pray in the spirit. Because the one thing when you're going through is, the target is always, the enemy is always after your mind. When the Bible talks about putting on the helmet of salvation, that's what it's talking about. He's after the fact, well, if you're really saved, you wouldn't be going through this. If you were really saved, you wouldn't. And so, and the one thing to combat that more than any, you can read scriptures, and thank God for the scriptures, but the one thing that even bypasses that is just praying in the spirit, in the spirit. Because, see, the Holy Spirit transcends that intellect. The scripture breathes on the intellect. The Holy Spirit transcends it. It just bypasses it. It's just like, boom, there is no reason to it, you know. And so I would pray in the Spirit and 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 pray in the Spirit. And I could tell you stories on that, but I'll say that for another time. So I'll address what Dr. Hudson just asked. There was one point when the accuser, I mean, they were. Bottom line is that they wanted money because of my position, because of the fact that we were a big church, large ministry, and God had given me so much influence. And so the person had hired an attorney that I didn't know the person. It was a female attorney, and I was told this female attorney was ruthless, that she was out for blood. I mean, she was ruthless. Well, again, I didn't know this, but I was reading. For some reason, God spoke to me, and here's another word. Here's another wisdom nugget, that when you're going through, listen for the word. Word of God. Listen for the, not just the Word of God. Let me qualify, because you can have the Word and still miss the voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You can hear the Word and still miss the voice. That's a word for somebody. That's a word for somebody. But when I was going through, I heard the voice of God say, Pierre, I want you to go to my Word. Notice what I said. I heard the voice telling me to go to the Word. See, a lot of times we just want to grab the Word. And then listen for the voice. And then the voice will tell you to go to the Word, and then you'll hear his voice in the Word. Because, you know what, I feel like I need to give scripture to somebody. Let me give you scripture. Again, everything I say, I can give you a solid biblical foundation on. The Bible says in John 5:39, it says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Let me say that again. You search the scriptures. You can know all the scriptures in the world and still not know him. He says, you search the scriptures, for in them, in the scriptures, you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. In other words, the scriptures are really revealing me, but you're so busy trying to quote the scriptures that you don't know me. Get to know me. Oh, my God. See, I get caught up because I hear in my spirit, like somebody say, wait a minute, Pierre. I'm not sure about that. That almost sounds like heresy. No, I love people to challenge me like that, because, again, I can give you solid scriptural foundation for just about, if not for everything that I say. So anyway, I heard the voice telling me to go to the Word, and it was a familiar passage of scripture that I could quote, you know, I could quote it. God said, no, I don't want you to quote it. I want you to go to the scripture. I want you to open it up. And so I went to the scripture. Psalms 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked and my enemies came upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Okay, read it again. I read it again. God, what are you saying? Read it again. I read it again. It's only five verses. It wasn't until the fifth time, of course, five being the number of grace, that God showed me something I had never seen in that passage. And again, I preached from that passage. I sang songs about that passage, and God showed me this. He said, Pierre, if you notice, David did not try to defend himself, and yet his enemies stumbled and fell. And then God says, he says, Pierre, if you try to defend yourself, I'm not going to. If you allow me to defend yourself, you won't have to. I said, okay, now again, she'd ask about the attorney. Now, I received this, I think this was on a Sunday or a Monday. I think it was Sunday. Maybe, no, it was Monday. That Tuesday, I want y'all to hear me. That Tuesday, the attorney that was representing the person that was bringing these nasty false allegations and accusations against me, the attorney for this particular person, all of a sudden, had I think she was 50, 51, 52, between 49 and 52, somewhere in there. I can't remember the exact age, but young, too young to really have a heart attack, had a massive heart attack and died. Now, remember, God had already said, Pierre, if you try to defend yourself,
won't be there.
If you'll allow me to defend yourself, you won't have to. Massive heart attack. When I heard that, one of my God moms called me and says, Pierre, have you heard? I'm like, have heard what? She said, that ruthless attorney, well, she called her some other stuff too, but she said that was going to try to bring this case against you, had a massive heart attack. They rushed her to, at the time, it's still a hospital there, it's called St. Joseph, and she died. I'm like, what? And I remembered the word that God gave me. I said, you know what, God? I said, thanks, Mom. Love you. And I hung up. I said, God, I'm humbling myself. I said, I realize you are doing something here. I'm taking my hands off of this. I'm not worrying about this. This is in your hand. No weapon that's formed against me will prosper. God, I trust you.
My God.
Now, this was kind of early in, this was probably after about, probably within the first 6 months. So even though that happened, I still had at least a whole another year and a half to walk through.
Wow.
So, again, we're talking about overcoming obstacles. long story short, case thrown out, record expunged, no record, nothing. But I said, you know what? I don't ever want to work with teenagers again. Now, again, that's a call of God on my life, that God has just given me grace. But because I had been burned like that, I said, you know what? The hell with that. And I'm just being honest. I keep it real. I said, the hell with that, God. I'm not going to do it. And so I tried to run away from that and forget about that. But the call of God was still so strong on my life. Still so strong on my life. And one of the things I really wanted to talk about tonight was the fact that failure is never final.
That's right.
Failure is never final. I'm going to bring you on up to that. But I want y'all to remember that theme: failure is never final. So after that, I was just heartbroken, and I'd been through the battle of my life. I mean, my reputation, my character was assaulted. Everything was assaulted. Everything. I mean, people were saying, oh, but God taught me so. Lord, I didn't want to go here, but this is what I'm hearing him say. I have to give you some lessons that I taught. God taught me. I mean, he taught me so much. Number one, you don't go through hell without getting something from it. If you're going to be in hell, if you're going to go through hell, grab some keys. Because you don't want to go back down that path. So for those of you that's going through some stuff, grab something. It's a purpose for you going through it, something. There's something you need to learn. There's something you can glean from it. Grab something. God taught me so much during that difficult time. One of the things he taught me is that in all things to give thanks. Now, again, we quote that scripture. We quote it. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In fact, that became my greeting on my home phone for years, because in all things I had to give thanks.
Thanks.
God,
right.
I don't like this.
In spite of it.
I hate this, but I give thanks. I thank you, God. Yes. I thank you. I thank you. You're working something out that I'm not able to. I don't understand why you're allowing this to go through. I don't like what you're allowing me to go through. But, God, I know that you are a good daddy. I know that you absolutely have my best interest at heart. So I'm willing to go through whatever's of the enemy. God, I'm not even giving place to the devil, because I know that ultimately he can do nothing that you haven't first of all allowed. I'm not even giving. I mean, I'm a a whole lot. I mean, stuff that I used to, you know, that's why I'm not into all, I got to be careful. I got to be careful. But I believe there is a time for spiritual warfare. I do believe there's a time for that. But I think some of the things we're trying to rebuke and bind and all of this stuff, listen, matter of fact, if you go to my blog, www.kmmi.us, I have a blog titled, What If It's God? Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, once he got out in the wilderness, he was tempted by the devil, but the devil didn't lead him to the wilderness. See, everything that goes through our life, oh, it's the devil, it's the devil. Oh, wait a minute. Come on now. What if it's God?
We've given the devil too much power.
Yes. You know what I was saying to somebody? I'm getting excited. Let me calm down. I was saying to somebody recently.
Excitement is good.
I was saying to someone recently that I was listening to a program. And God is my witness, the first 10 minutes, they were talking about basically giving glory to the devil. We're not, you know, we binding up the devil. Let's bind him up. And they did all of that stuff. It wasn't until 10 minutes later that I even first heard the name of Jesus mentioned. Everything else was binding and that devil has been on y'all's back. Let's shake him off. And I'm thinking, why don't we just lift up Jesus?
That's right.
In his presence, there's fullness of joy.
See,
I firmly believe there is a place in God. There is a place in God. The Bible says in Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place. It's a secret place in God, where if we'll get there, remain there, we won't have to go through all of this warfare and all of this stuff, because it's a secret place. But that's a whole nother topic. We'll get there later. Let me get to what your main question that you asked, because I want to talk about some of the trips too. So I go through that, get out of that, and God just doors just started opening. I ended up going to kind of get restored. I went to Nigeria, and it was when I was in Nigeria teaching psychology that God gave me the vision for Kingdom Mercy Ministries International. Came back. And God had already given me the vision, but I came back, and I really felt like I was supposed to start. I felt like I was supposed to start, but God obviously didn't want me, so I started working for a company. The company did great, did like $96 million in 15 months.
Wow.
I was in the I was in the management position. God gave me favor with the CEO, the CFO of the company.
Wow.
And I met my first billion with the B, billionaire, working at this company. I mean, there were days in the company that we would make $2 million a day.
My Lord.
I had a management position. I was on a salary. So whether I was there or not, I was getting paid. So as far as I was concerned, this was heaven. This is, you know, this is great.
My Lord.
And God spoke to me. Yeah, God spoke their favor. God spoke. In fact, the other thing that God would have me doing there, even though I had a title of shipping's manager, I mean, I don't even know if that's really was my duty, because most of the time the CEO, honestly, the CEO, because when you have that kind of money, everybody's drawn to you. And so the CEO, for the most part, was starstruck. I mean, we had some of the big names coming to his business because he had all that money. So everybody wanted to get a part, and they have their products, and they wanted to, you know, get him to endorse, et cetera. And so he was starstruck. I wasn't, and I'm not starstruck. I don't care who you are. I'm not impressed. The only person I'm impressed with is Jesus.
It's Jesus. Hallelujah.
You know, and I, again, I respect all people. I really, in fact, almost to a fault. But there's one star. He's the bright morning star.
That's right now.
And so a lot of times he would have me just sitting in meetings, again, doing things I had no business doing. I'm sitting in meetings with all these multimillionaires doing, you know, talking business. I know nothing of business. Absolutely nothing about except kingdom business. And I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm just saying I didn't know. In fact, I've been running my ministry for 8 years, and like the first 2 years I'd run the ministry, I didn't even know what how to reconcile my books.
Sure.
But somebody asked me about, when was the last time you reconciled your books, Pierre? I say, what? You mean the ministry of reconciliation? I'm being honest. I had no idea. Somebody asked me about a P&L statement. Dr. Hudson, God is my witness. I didn't know what a profit and loss statement was.
Lord, thank you, Jesus.
I had no idea.
God sent it with all of us.
So again, talking about overcoming obstacles, I have learned how to do accounting. I basically kept the books for 8 years. But anyway, that's a whole other message. I'm working in the company, doing wonderful. As far as I'm concerned, you know, this is heaven. After about almost 2 years, so a relatively short time, God speaks to me and says, Pierre, it's now time for you to give birth to the ministry. I'm like, what? No, I rebuke the devil.
You're rolling in the dough now. You don't want to leave, right?
Yeah, rolling in the dough. Not only that, Dr. Hudson, I could see I was rolling in the dough, but, you know, I was around a bunch of heathens and, you know, a bunch of Babylon. No, this was a Christian-based company. This was wonderful. I mean, we would start the day off every day with prayer. There were times when we would have an extra $1,000, everybody in the company, a month. Extra thousand.
Wow.
A month.
Wow.
Everybody in the company, an extra $1,000 as a bonus for month if they answered all of the calls, the customer service people, if they answered all of the calls by the third ring. All the company. We would get $250 a week times four.
God.
And we got paid every week. So anyways, it's just an incredible company. So I'm trying to rush now because I want to get. And so I was comfortable. I was thinking, God, this is awesome. I was still giving. In fact, I was living off about 48% to 52% of my income. You know, so I was still a big giver. And God spoke to me to leave, and I rebuked the devil. I was like, this can't be the voice of God. Well, you know, the voice came to me good. I went to the CEO, the CFO of the company, and shared with them. You know, I felt like the Lord was calling me out and to go ahead and give birth to the ministry. And but they blessed it, you know. And in my first, January 17th, I left. Now, let me say this. We're talking about overcoming obstacles. I had no idea. I mean, because, again, there were days we did $2 million a day. A day. Well, see, God knew it was time for me to get out, and here's what happened. Probably maybe 6 to 7, probably about 5 to 6 months before I was getting ready to leave, we got ready to go on a cruise, take all of our associates on a cruise. We needed $200,000 as a down payment because we were going to rent the whole cruise. Well, we found out that one of our bankers had fraudulently wrote $6.7 or $6.8 million worth of fraudulent checks on one of our accounts. The Attorney General of Texas came in, of course, you know, because they had to turn that stuff over to the feds. They say they had never seen anything like it. Long story short, I don't care how much money you got. You take that much out of your operating account, you know, you're going to have to make some changes.
Back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they let go a lot of people. And, of course, you know, I was still kept on. But God had already told me to leave. But
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, you know, I'm not going anywhere. This, you know, we're going to fix. Well, long story short, they had a lawsuit for $47 million to against the bank. And long story short, they had to, the company had to file. Because even though they won the settlement, by the time they paid everything out, they were
mm-hmm.
behind on the vendors. And so, you know, it was just a
my
mess.
God.
Yeah.
My
no, but
God.
In the midst of this, God had already called me out. See, at first,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, God, I ain't leaving.
mm-hmm.
I am not going nowhere, you know. God,
my
just,
God.
Get out.
My God.
God had already called me
oh.
out. And,
you know, Elder Pierre,
yes.
we are down to 10 minutes. We
okay, let me wrap this up. Let me wrap it up real
we'll
quick.
We'll have to have you back to talk about failure is never final.
yes. We'll have to do that. So let me just
yeah.
wrap this up.
So
I definitely will come back
just,
in a couple of months
summarize.
Or whenever you get
yeah.
back on your vacation. so I started gave birth to the ministry January 17th,
mm-hmm.
and that year, I'm talking that first year, God gave me an assignment to go to 6 countries in 1 year. Now, I had not been to 6 countries at that point in my life, and God had given me an assignment to go to 6 countries. And so I did what you normally would do. I sat down and started writing letters to people that knew me, that had money, that would support the ministry. At the end of those letters, about 2 or 3 weeks, not one dime came in to support me. Not one.
Mm-hmm.
These are people that, I mean, most of these people could write one check for all 6 countries and never miss a beat.
My God.
And so I went back to God and I said, God, what's up? God says, Pierre, I told you I would send you to 6 countries. I'm like, well,
whoa.
God, how are you going to do it? He says, you just let me worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the year, I had been to 6 different countries. That's how my ministry started almost 8 years ago. So I'm saying all of that to say, let me bring it home. I'm saying all of that to say.
And don't forget to give your contact information.
Yes. Saying all of that to say, I don't know who's listening. Again, I don't know when you're going to listen to this, but I want you to know that failure is never final. I'll come back and actually address that whole thing. But
you
I
know,
don't care what you've been through. I don't
mm-hmm.
know what you're going through. I want you. Here's a good thing. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Revelation is that he's walking through the valley. He's
That's
not stopping
right.
in the valley. He's
Go,
walking
keep going.
Through. You
mm-hmm.
just keep going.
Keep going.
I know it's tough. I know it's challenging. I know it's hard. I know you want to give up. I know you want to give out. But listen, keep going. Keep
mm-hmm.
going. Keep. I can
mm-hmm.
give you story after story about times I have just said, Lord, that's it. I was sharing with Dr. Hudson the other day that I'd actually called Dr. Ma. Well, he called me. I sent him an email telling him, I'm done. I'm through with
mm-hmm.
ministry. And he called and encouraged me. So I want to encourage you. The Bible says God comforts us in our afflictions so
that's
that
right.
we, with the comfort we have received, can then bring comfort. So I want to bring comfort to those of you that's in radio land. I speak a word
mm-hmm.
right now of restoration, to restore
mm-hmm.
something. It's
mm-hmm.
it's better than it was. It's not just
that's
restoring
right.
it to its original place. It's better
yes.
than it was.
Mm-hmm.
I speak a word of healing. I speak
mm-hmm.
a word of purpose that you would understand
mm-hmm.
that all things really are working together for your good.
Yes.
Because of his purpose.
Yes.
He has a purpose for all of it, all of it, all of it. And so, Father, I pray that you would give them a glimpse of
mm-hmm.
shall be in their lives. Because I believe if God would give you a glimpse of what shall be, you'll have the proper perspective to come back and deal with what is. The Bible says Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him.
Mm-hmm.
See, there was a joy that was set before him. He saw the joy, and the joy that he saw was you and me. He said, you know what, for Pierre, for Dr. Hudson, it's worth it for me to go through this. See, if we can get a glimpse of shall be's,
mm.
we'll come back and deal with what is.
Mm.
God is never intimidated
yes,
by what is because he knows what shall be.
So,
Father, I decree a shall be in their life
yeah.
in
yes,
Jesus'
Lord.
Name. Amen.
I want you to give your contact information. And Elder Pierre, while we are at it, if you can put on your book for the Sunday after I get back from vacation to come back and finish up.
Okay.
While everything is fresh in these people's minds.
Yes, yes.
And then we will start with failure is never final, and then
okay.
we will continue. Give your contact information, your
okay,
website,
again,
your blog, and everything.
Okay, again, my website is 469-951. I'm sorry. Well, I'm giving my number. And here's, wow, this is the Lord. Because what I was hearing is somebody's going to be listening to this. When you hear it, you're going to really, you say, you know what, that sounds good, but can I call him? Dr. Daphne will tell you, You can call me. That's my personal number. And God help me, because I don't know what God has for me, but I don't ever want to get to the place to where you can't be accessible to me. I'm sorry. Some people need that because people would just overwhelm them. But my thing is, you control when you answer the phone. If it's somebody that you don't want to, you can say, hey, listen, I'm busy now. I'll call you back. But I'm giving you my personal number. It's 469-951-9190. If I don't answer, just say, listen, I was listening to Dr. Hudson's radio broadcast. Would you please give me a call? She's a witness that I will call. My website is www.kmmi.us. That stands for Kingdom Mercy Ministries International, United States. www.kmmi.us. All of my information there. My email is there. Call me, write me, and we'll
repeat
stay in touch.
Your phone number, please.
Again, 469-951-9190. Again, all of that information is on my website as well.
Well, Elder Pierre, I thank you so much for blessing my listeners. I thank you for supporting me on this journey that
you're welcome.
Daddy has me on, and I know that this is just the beginning.
Just the beginning. Amen.
This is just the beginning, because I am feeling that there's something that we need to do together, and I am very ready.
Yeah.
I am so ready. I thank your family for allowing you this time off to come and just speaking into our lives and for blessing us.
Amen. I just want to pick up on something you said, and I'm done, because every time you say, I hear something. But I don't know if I shared this with you, Dr. Hudson, but God, what God is doing, he's networking networks so that his net works.
That's right. That's right. That's it. That's
so
it.
It's time out for long ranger mentality, and you know you think you got the revelation all by yourself. You need to hook up with somebody, because I can't wait to read some of your books. I mean, I'm thinking this woman, I'm excited.
I'll be getting it out to you. I'll be getting them out to you.
Okay, and again, we need to talk after the message, because I need to get your physical address so I can send you my music CD.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Elder Pierre.
So you just give me a call after you finish wrapping up.
Yes, and
just send it to me via email. Just send it to me via email.
All right, and keep me in your prayers.
I will.
Keep me in your prayers while I'm on vacation.
Yes, and tell your son, Javante, wasn't that his name?
Yes.
Tell him, again, give him that word that I gave you.
Yes, I gave him already.
Okay, good.
Yes,
okay,
thank you.
Be blessed.
Thank you so very much. Be blessed. I know you are blessed, and I tell you, this is an affirmation that we are all called for a destiny, and we all need to stay focused on that. I thank you all for listening, and I wanted to please take advantage of all the archives until I get back from vacation. I love each and every one of you, and there is nothing that you can do about that. Stay blessed, everybody.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? The mystery.
come all the pieces together. Because I believe that he's concerned about me. I just begin to say this by faith to the Lord. And I need you to grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you for showing me and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this thing. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this thing. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. See the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for. Oh, yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody. You're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change.